This week's lesson, and we're going to fight through this microphone. We're not going to let the enemy steal what God's got in store for us today. I can tell you that. If I got to put the mic down, we will. I made a statement to y'all last week. I said, and I meant this, I see a room full of potential godly leaders in here. No part of me do I see at all any potential failures. I don't believe in it, okay? Failure is a mentality. Failure is when we quit trying. And y'all are all here. So whatever situation is going on in your life, you haven't quit trying because you're here. Whether you know that or not, you're still trying to grow closer to Christ. Well, when we want to grow closer to Christ and we want to grow in anything that we do, it takes studying, okay? I love football. I study football. I love the Word of God. I study the Word of God. I love to cook. I study cooking. And the more I study, amen, tell them what you say, Mom. The more that I study, the more knowledge I gain. And so I just a question by a show of hands, is there anybody in here tonight that does not desire to have more knowledge? Didn't think so. So tonight's lesson's for everybody, whether you've been here, whether you've been in the Word of God for 50 years or you're just now beginning to read the Bible, or you've never opened it before. What we're going to talk about tonight applies to your life. So based off of that, I want to make this statement. I think a lot of people get, hang on a second, let me set this timer. What do I got, 2 hours? At least. Okay. So I think we get this mentality in our mind that we have to read the Bible. We don't have to read the Bible. We get to read the Bible. And so what I want to do is I want to begin to create a culture and a change in my heart. Even if Pastor Jeremy was in here, this applies to anybody that's still seeking God, is I want to begin to create and to encourage you to crave to read the Bible. Not to have to crave it. I wake up and crave it. You know why? Because I've seen what it does. I know the power of the living Word of God. I know the power of it. Just take a recipe, for example. If you take, and it's actually someone who knew how to write a recipe, like my grandmother. We're going to use my grandma's recipe book. If you follow it step by step and read it, the end result is glorious. Because that woman can throw down. Now, if it was a recipe book like maybe Briley wrote over here, you may get away with a little hamburger helper. Maybe. Amen, Briley. I love you, girl. I've known her for her whole life, so it's okay. I can talk to her like that. But you see what I'm saying? And it's the same thing with the Bible. When we begin to create and read an instruction book for our life that was written and wrote and breathed by the Creator, the one that designed us how to do this and designed rules in order to keep us safe. And He gives us the path for health. He gives us the path for prosperity. He gives us the path for hope and peace and power and strength. That's something that I crave in my life. So who in here craves those things? Okay, then we're all on the same page tonight. Then what we're going to talk about is a method to get you to the next level, no matter how long you've been studying the Bible, to where not only you crave it, but you understand it. When we can crave something, but when we begin to understand it, that craving turns to power, it turns to knowledge, and then it turns to application. All right? I've always desired to want to cook. I've always desired to want to be good at cooking. I'm getting to a place in my life now where I get to actually cook things for people and they enjoy it. So it's getting better. All right. And so what I'm saying is the application now is I'm getting to use the application to benefit others. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about an application that's for us today. Okay. And it is called the soap method. So I'm not trying to put anybody on the spot, but I told you all we're family. All right. I'm going to be up in your business. Please be up in mine. All right? I'm going to ask you questions. You can ask me. Remember, I told you I was transparent. All right, so we have to be honest if we're going to do this together and grow together. If we can't be honest with ourselves, then who can we be honest with? So just, and I'm not even going to ask anybody to show their hands because I don't want to put anybody on the spot, but just think. So I'm going to ask, Who in here, just think to yourself, just now kind of started reading the Word of God? Just now started digging in and maybe even just now. Mark, I appreciate you being honest, brother. Just getting curious enough to say, what is this all about? What does this mean? How do I read it? How do I understand it? Okay, and then there's some of us in here that have been reading it for quite a while. Okay? And the fact that we have both parties in here, and the fact that this format applies to both parties is powerful. It's powerful. And it is called the SOAP method. S-O-A-P. SOAP method. It is one very effective way to study the Bible. It's not the only way, but it is one way. And we're going to teach this way, not that you have to use this, but to encourage you, because I'm going to show you here in a little bit how powerful it is. So what is SOAP? S-O-A-P. It's Scripture, Observation, Application, and Prayer. Okay, well, what does all of that mean? I knew I'd put a bottle of water somewhere in here. Yes, Lord. I thought I was going to die there for a second. To you big boys, y'all get ready to pick me up, I fall down. Okay? All right. Scripture, Observation, Application, and Prayer. Scripture. What is the Scripture? It's what we're seeking. That is the information we want to download into our brains. We're downloading information in our minds all day long. Our kids are downloading information that we don't want to even know about. The society's downloading information. TV's downloading information. It's information. That's what we're going to, that's the Scripture is information that we need to download into our mind. Observation. Okay? The most simple definition of observation that I can give you. And it's so profound and so powerful, and it just makes this tie together, is to view carefully, especially with attention to detail. We so often read the Word of God like it's just a book. But if you're anything like me, I am horrible at putting things together. When I say horrible, it's bad. Thank you. Even with good instructions, there's usually something out of place and some extra screws. It's bad. I call my father-in-law and everything. It's really bad. But in order for me to be as successful as I possibly can, I have to not just read over the instructions, I have to carefully pay attention to the details that are within the instruction manual. Well, that's what a Bible is. It's an instruction manual for everything you'll ever need, except for putting a cabinet together from Walmart. I think the Bible says to burn it. Go to the garage sale and buy one already put together. The A is application. Application is just putting something into use, guys. You can study it, learn it, speak it, know it, but if you don't apply it, it's useless. And then there's prayer. Prayer? Why do we need to pray over our Scripture? What should our prayer be when we're praying over Scripture? Say that? What was that? I heard. Understanding. What else? Oh, Delight. Girl, I love that name. Her name is Delight, and I love it. Oh.
Show us something new from the Scripture.
That's beautiful. She said, show us something new from the Scripture. The other word for that is revelation. That's awesome. That's why we seek God's Word. That's why we pray over it. Because when we pray, here's the thing. God's Word is so complex yet so simple that you can read something that's so simple and get 10 different meanings out of it. But through prayer, God will show you the exact meaning that He wants to give you for the area in your life that it needs to apply. That's how powerful the Word of God is. That's why prayer is so important to this method. So why use SOAP? It is a tool for getting more out of your time in God's Word. I think quality time is way better than quantitative time any day of the week. We need quality. And when we know, it's like, I'll use my wife for an example. There's a difference between quality talk and quantitative talk. I have quantitative talk with my five-year-old because she has lots and lots and lots and lots to say. I have quality talk with my wife because we don't get a lot of time to talk. And so our conversations need to be full of quality. It's the same thing with reading the Word. Our time is valuable, and God knows that. And so when we read, learn to read the Word right, the quality of our time comes up. All right? And so it doesn't have to be so much quantity. But here's a great thing about it. The higher the quality our time gets while we're reading and studying the Word, the more quantity we desire. That's the more, because it's you when you begin to crave it, you want it. I love steak. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for cows. Thank you. I've never said, I'm tired of eating steak, because I love it. I crave it. Especially mine, it's good. That's the same thing with the Word of God. When you love it and you crave it, you want more of it. God's Word to our lives. Oh, hang on. Number two. It is important that we not only read the Bible, but understand and apply it. We're going to go over that in just a second. Number three, God's Word to our lives. God's Word to our lives so that we may grow spiritually. This is the reason why we're wanting to do this, is because, and that's the reason why everybody's in here tonight, is because you want to grow spiritually. And then the last one is, it is vital that we pass down knowledge of God's Word to the next generation. I'm going to read that again, because we're fixing to read a scripture. And I'm fixing to show y'all something. And it's the only section of this thing that I'm going to preach in, I promise. Maybe. But let me ask you this. How can we give something to somebody that we don't possess? You can't. And I'm going to show you. There's a great example of it in 2 Kings 22. Okay, we're not going to go all over that story, because you have to look at the backstory to understand what they're talking about. But anyway, basically, the Torah, the laws of God, was buried in the temple, and they found it later when they were rebuilding the temple. And what it was generations didn't pass down the Word of God to generations, and there was depravity. And the crazy thing is, that's why it's called Kings, because God kept having to raise up kings over and over. And if you read Kings, there'd be six generations that says they didn't do, that they did completely everything God told them not to do. And then all of a sudden there'd be one that did what God told them to do. And then he'd get, and it's, so it's called Kings because they didn't pass down. God kept having to raise someone up to save them. But I want to look at Psalm 78, 1 through 7 real quick, guys. And this isn't even about the lesson, but I know God wants me to share this. And this is why it's so powerful that we understand the Word of God, so that we can give somebody something that we have. This right here is the very reason why our world is in the shape it's in today. This verse describes why our world is a deprived, depraved world that's lost and separated from the love of Christ. Listen to this. All right, so y'all know what Psalms are. It's in the Old Testament. They're talking about New Testament stuff. It's so beautiful that he's saying, hey, I'm going to do this for you in a couple thousand years. Look at this. It says, open your eyes to what I... Oh, no, it says, oh, my people, listen to my instructions. It's the Word of God. Instructions. Open your ears to what I am saying, for I will speak to you in a parable. What did Jesus teach in? I will teach you hidden lessons from our past, stories we have heard and known, stories our ancestors have handed down. What stories are you going to leave your children and your grandchildren to hand down to their children and grandchildren? Starts right here. Tonight. It starts right here tonight. It says, we will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonder. For he issued his laws to Jacob. He gave him his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children so the next generation might know him. It is a commandment on your life to teach your children and grandchildren the Word of God. Period. It's biblical. Biblical. And because that has been absent in our world and society, that's where our depravity comes from. Because God says, if you do this, this won't happen. He says, even the children not yet born, and they in turn will teach their own children. This is the part that got me. This is the part that proves that we're in the state that we're in, because the lack of knowledge of the Word of God and passing it down. But here's what's so awesome about it. We have an opportunity to change that culture in our family tonight. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting His glorious miracles and obeying His commands. If I don't teach my children, somebody's going to. If I don't teach my grandkids, somebody's going to. If my dad wouldn't have taught me, somebody else would have. You have an opportunity, guys. Not only an opportunity, you have a responsibility to teach your children and grandchildren the Word of God. And I'm fixing to give you one of the most simple, complex, easiest things, but life-changing methods in learning to understand it so you can do that very thing. All right? Here's a couple of scriptures on the value and importance of God. We're going to go through these because the reason why I want to go through these real quick is because you need to know the word, what the Word of God says about the Word of God. That way you don't think it's just me up here babbling. Colossians 2 and 3 says, "In Him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Sign me up for that. Give me all the wisdom and knowledge you can give me. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 says, "All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work." The Word of God equips us for everything. There is nothing incomplete about this Word right here. Nothing. Psalms 119 105, it says, Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Joshua 1 and 8. Hey, y'all want to know about prosperity? I don't teach prosperity. I just tell you that. That is not me. But I can tell you the Bible wants good things for His children. I'm going to show it to you. Joshua 1 and 8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night." Hear me, guys. It says meditate on it day and night. That means study the Word of God day in and day out. The next two words are so powerful. It says so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Study it day and night so you can do this over here, so you can do what's written in it. And then this is for y'all right here. That your responsibility is that you may be careful to do according to all what is written in it. This is your reward right here. Listen. "For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." That's not my words. That's the Word of God. Take that for how you want to, but when God gives us something to do, He usually gives us a result. But He gives us something to do. And the result don't come until after we do what we're supposed to do. Because God knows He's going to do His end. And Matthew 4 and 4, it says, "But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Some of us are starving to death because the only thing we're eating is what's in our pantry. Starving to death. Wondering why we can't get it together. Wonder why this, wonder why that, and we're starving to death, and God's saying, "You eating the wrong thing. Bread of life. This water, that's temporary. I'll need some more in a little bit. This right here ain't never left me thirsty. Never left me thirsty. But if you got a living well within you, at your hand, at your fingertips, and you don't know how to study and access it, it's no good to you. Well, we're going to learn how to do it. Yes, Lord. He called you two inches in a row, Nicole. You go on God's good list. I love you, sister. We family, girl. All right. So how do you use soap? So basically, when you sit down at your quiet time and do this, this is kind of the thing what we want to do. I'm fixing to go through this real quick, like, and then we're going to do it together. Scripture. Write the verse or verses that stood out to you in the Bible reading. Write them down. Why do you write them down? Because when something stands out to you in Scripture, who do you think that is? Thank you. We're not smart enough, I promise. Sonia Bonner might be. I have to say that because if not, I'll be in trouble after this class. I'm tired of getting grounded by her. I'm tired of it. But when things stand out in the Scripture, It's God speaking to you. And you have to have that because there's so many different meanings to the scripture that God has to speak to you. Observation. What did you observe in the scripture? Select one part of the passage that you read that stood out. This could be a sentence, could be a verse, it could be a paragraph. And hey, stop on that. Don't quit, keep going. You have to learn to read the Bible, not like a book, but like an instruction manual. And it's a whole lot more beneficial to you and everybody in your life if you read three sentences, three scriptures, and understand them, versus you reading five chapters, have no clue what you just read. It does you no good. No good. Application. How can you apply the observation so that it affects your life today? And then prayer. Write out a prayer to God based on what you learn and ask Him to help you apply this truth in your life. All right, guys. We're fixing to do this together. And I'll be quite honest with you. I feel like a teacher up here. Well, thank you. But I feel like I'm in school. Because I got all these books up here and we're fixing to get to do this thing together. Does Piney Woods have an opening? I want to be the principal. No?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Just throwing that out there. Job application. Okay. Excuse me. So we're going to do, Markle, throw up Romans 6 for me. We're going to go 1 through 15 real quick. I'm going to buzz through it. All right? Keep up with me. I'm reading out the NLT version. Is this the NLT version? Thank you, brother. It says, well then, listen, anytime, and it just I know, when you see well then, is, as, highlight that, all right? And then most of the time you need to look what's behind it, but we're going to get to that. Let's just read this thing. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of His wonderful grace? Of course not. Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined Him in His death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with Him in His death, we will also be raised to life as He was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And I'm going to stop right there. It says to go through 15. We're going to stop right there. The reason why we're going to stop right there is because something jumped out to me. And what jumped out to me was the very first part. It was 1 through 4. And I did not write this. I had somebody else write this. Or you wouldn't have been able to read it. And this is what jumped out to me. Can y'all see that? Can everybody see that? Okay, you know what, Marco? There you go, buddy. That boy right there is doing a great job. Good job, Marco. Okay. So, everybody, it's on the screen, too. Well, this will be my board. Y'all have that board? Y'all have that board? This will be my board. Okay. So, you know what? Tell me, I didn't get smart in high school. I went to Alto. So, okay, here we go. This is what stood out to me. Well then, now that doesn't make sense to me at all because I'm over here. Okay, thank you, Lord. Well then, should we keep sinning so that God can show us more and more of His wonderful grace? What stuck out to me? Well then. What are you talking about, well then? Yeah, this didn't work out at all. The reason why well then stuck out to me is because it has to. It's inferring to something. So what's it inferring to? This is my observation. This is what I am observing. I've got my scripture. Now I'm going to observe. Excuse me. That was a good one. You got me. You got me. Okay. So I want to observe. Okay. Well then, so what I did was I went back and said, what are they talking about? Well, this is in regards to Romans 5 and 21. And we're not going to go through Romans 5 and 21. But what Paul's talking about is all this great God's grace. All right? He's talking about this infinitive amount of grace that God has for us and that he offered us and give us full access to with his son on the cross. That's what he's talking about. And he's saying, because God did this, because God has all of this grace that never runs out, that never stops, he said, should we keep sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? No. Just because God has all of this grace for us, it doesn't mean that we should continue to test it over and over and over and over again, because now that's getting to condition of heart. Because, yeah, he's going to forgive me. He's a forgiving God. He's cast my sins as far as the east is to the west. But listen, when you keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over and expecting God to show you grace, there's grace, but you got some responsibility in it yourself. Right? You keep sinning, it shows your condition of heart and your relationship to the Father. Think about that. That falls on us. That well then falls on us. So, of course not. So since we have died to sin, is anybody in here not saved? I didn't think so. I thought so. We're all saved. That means we've all died to sin. How can we continue to live in it? If something's dead in your life, you know what that means? When you continue to live in the same sin, that means you take a shovel and you go dig up that dead that thing and say, that belongs to me, God, not you. That's what we do. Every time. And here's the thing is, they didn't have to do that to Jesus. See, when he died, he brought himself to life. Well, when he died, he brought us to life. And our sin was buried in that tomb. And basically, every time we could not, Nathan, we're never going to be perfect. That's the reason he says to strive to be like me. But every time we continue to be in the same sin over and over, we're walking in that tomb saying, no, that belongs to me, Jesus. You didn't die for that. That's what we're saying. We keep digging up that sin and keep digging up that sin and keep digging up that sin. And we're saying, yeah, but God's got grace. Yeah, he's got grace. But we have a responsibility into it too. He says, you cannot keep doing this. He says, or have you forgotten that when we were born with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? I don't know about you, but when Jesus come into my life, I was made new. So the old Justin died. So I don't have the right to go back in that tomb and keep grabbing up this sin and living in it, because Jesus made me new with him. So when he was resurrected, guess what? So was I. So were you. And you. And you. Sergio, you too. Everybody. And so we got to leave that old junk behind, and it's dead and it's not part of our identity no more. But when we pick it back up, we just keep saying, ah, Jesus, you didn't die for this. And he's saying, yeah, I did. I did it all. It was completion. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now, listen, we also may. It doesn't say we're guaranteed. It doesn't say, it says we also may live new life. What does that word may mean? It means that we have an opportunity. Say that again. Choice. Free will. We get to choose to either live alive or live dead. Your choice. It's a choice you get to make every day. So you can either live and stink of death. It's one of my favorite words. Or you can be what God called you to do and be anew and live in victory and power and promise and hope and this new life that and get rid of that old junk, because it's not part of your identity. That's the reason why 6:1-4, caught my eye. That's the reason why I want to observe it. Okay? And observation, observation is powerful because of this. Hang on, I'm almost done. Big old hands. Golly. When we observe something, okay, I have 13 guys that work for me at my shop, and I observe. Yes, Lord? Yeah. I observe them all. And what I mean by that is I look at them, they do the same thing, but they're uniquely different, okay? When we observe Scripture, God's Word is God's Word. But God was so intelligent that he knew there were going to be dummies like me needing his word. So he put brilliant people on the earth to write different translations. And I'm going to show you the power of observation through translation. This is Romans 6. I'm just going to go through 1 through 4. Y'all see it here and y'all see it there. You see it there. And this is just a message, and this is just another way of God laying it out to make it more. And what I'm getting at is it doesn't matter if tomorrow's going to be the first day you start reading your word or tonight, or you've been reading for 50 years, there's a translation for you. There's something out there for you. God was that brilliant. Listen, I want y'all to follow along here and listen to what it says. So what do we do? Back referring to well then. That's regards to Romans 5 and 21 about God's grace. It says, so what do we do? Do we keep on sinning so God can keep on forgiving? He said, I should hope not. If we left the country where sin is sovereign, how can we still live in our old house there? Whew. Or didn't you realize we packed up and left there for good? I don't know about you, but I left my grave. That joker does not own me no more. I am free in Jesus. It's not mine no more. I'm going this away. It says, that is what happened in baptism. When we went under the water, we left the old country of sin behind. When we came up out of the water, we entered into the new country of grace, a new life, and a new land. He says, that's what baptism into the life of Jesus means. When we are lowered into the water, it is like the burial of Jesus. When we are raised up out of the water, it's like the resurrection of Jesus. Each of us is raised into a light-filled world by our Father. Listen, so that we can see where we're going in our new, grace, sovereign country. I don't know about y'all. Here's a great thing about baptism is we're also baptizing blood. Because the blood that was shed on the cross, okay? Blood that was shed on the cross washed away all my sins. That's baptism. And when we are baptized and we come anew, and it's a proclamation of my relationship with Jesus, and that I believe and that he is my king and I have salvation, something happens in our life. And God does a miraculous turning of our life from hell to eternity with him. We got a responsibility in that. And y'all's responsibility in here goes beyond yourself now. Because I've already told y'all and professed and proclaimed to every one of y'all in here are spiritual leaders. So now you have that responsibility, not just to yourself, not to your children, not to your grandchildren, but to this church and to this community. And how can we give them this if we don't know how to break it down and understand it? The last one, the A is application. Well, that's pretty simple. How do we apply it? This is how you apply that scripture. Now listen, I understand it's easier said than done. It's easier said than done. I know that. Because we're going to mess up even when we're trying to do right. Because we're human. God knows that. That's why he has grace. He just doesn't need you. He doesn't call you to challenge his grace every day. He has grace because he knows that there's not but one that's perfect. But how do we do this on a daily basis? Is we do this. All right? Salvation happens, we turn and go the other way. It's a turning every single day. Every day we turn away from it. Every day we turn away. Every day, I'm transparent with you. Every day I've got to turn away from addiction to food. I do. I love food. Every single day, I wake up because God didn't call my body to be like that, okay? And the sin of my life was evident in the physicality of me. Every day, I have to wake up and make a decision to turn away from that. I do. I have to wake up, and I'm a man. I have a fleshly mind. Every one of us do. I have to wake up and make decisions every day to focus on things of the Lord, not of the world. Well, that's turning. What's the word for turning in the Bible? Starts with an R. That's it. This is about repentance too. Repent. Turn. 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 And I'll show you grace. Turn and I'll help you. You're going to fall on the path. Turn. And I know, listen, there's some things in our life that turning away from just ain't enough. And I understand that. But maybe the turning away is getting help.
That's good.
Maybe it's sitting down and talking to someone that you trust. Maybe it's counseling, godly, Christian, biblical counseling, not this other stuff, all right? Godly, that may be what, hey, I'll be the first one to tell you, one of the best things that saved me in my marriage was counseling. Godly counsel was great for me. That woman probably never wants to see me again. I think she's in counseling now. But it changed my life. And you know what I was doing? I was turning away from my thought process. So there are some things that you may be dealing with, addictions that you may be dealing with, that you can't whoop on your own. There's ways. And there's plenty of grace for you through that process. Okay? So if there's something you're dealing with in here tonight, all right? Ain't it funny how we can talk about how to read the Bible and God shows up so big. If there's something that you're struggling with, you ain't got to tell me. You don't have to tell your table host. But if it's something that you genuinely cannot deal with on your own, get some help. You can go to our office, and I promise you, they'll get, Tate, am I right? They will get you to the right person because they love you. And they want to see this applied in your life. Amen. And you're hearing this right now. This is the Holy Spirit speaking to every one of you in here tonight. Whatever you're dealing with, because I know in my spirit that somebody in here is dealing with something major that nobody knows about, and you can't whoop it. And it's going to devour you and destroy you, and it's going to enable you and render you powerless unless you find the right help. And the last one's prayer. And I want to pray over this scripture, and then we're going to go into the group work. I left us plenty of time for y'all to dig into this with your table host. Table host, y'all interact. Yes, ma'am? Oh, I thought you were raising your hand. All right, I'm going to pray over this. I'm going to pray over the scripture. I'm going to show you how I would pray over this scripture, and then we're going to turn it over to the table host. Gracious Father, thank you that there's a well then. Thank you, God, that because you do have so much grace, an infinite amount of grace, that it doesn't run out in our life. But God, thank you for loving us so much to give us an instruction manual of how to turn away, God, from the sin in our life so we're not testing that grace day in and day out. And God, I pray that you empower my spirit through your blood, God, to turn away from the things that keep me separated from you. And God, if there's something in my life that I don't have the capability of doing on my own, God, I pray that you give me the courage. God, I know what those things are. Give me the courage to talk to somebody that can look me in the eye and say, me too. Because God, there's power in those two words of me too. And God, there's people out there that can look anybody in any situation and say, you know what, sister or brother, me too. God, I pray for accountability partners that need to be in my life in certain areas. But most of all, God, I pray for your spirit in my life. And I pray, God, that as I wake up tomorrow and put my feet in the ground, God, that you're the first thing that I think about. God, you're what consumes my mind in the day, Father. And God, I pray that your spirit fall on me when my mind begins to trail and my mind begins to track in the wrong direction. Because God, when you died, my sins died. And when you were raised up, my new life was raised up, Father. And I want to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord and make an impact on the kingdom and be the spiritual leader you have called me to be, Father God. And I pray that you reveal your word to me and give me the strength to apply it in my life. In Jesus' name, amen.